This is Chris McGovern, and you're listening to The Glass Show.
Hi, good to finally talk to you.
Yeah,
I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to talk to both twins, but you know, that's fine. I'm kind of used to, you know, trying to get two people that are in a duo to do an interview, and I usually just get one person, you know.
Yeah.
It's happened on more than one occasion, so this is nothing new for me.
Welcome to The Glass Show. It's the Shook Twins with Thoughts All In from their latest album, What We Do. And that's basically Laurie Shook from the Shook Twins. You know, me joking again about the fact that every time we do an interview with somebody from a duo, it's because the other person wasn't available, and it kind of just seems like I'm interviewing somebody that went solo, you know? No, but yeah, Laurie Shook, of course, from the Shook Twins, and the Shook Twins, basically, are Portland, Oregon-based folk group, indie folk group, and, you know, fascinating kind of stuff, very creative, you know. I really thought it was lovely talking to her, and they kind of made news recently, not really big news, it's just that it was something that I came across on social media, that was about the fact that they were contacted to do American Idol and they turned it down because American Idol apparently wanted them to audition separately, and you know, the fact of the matter is American Idol would probably force them to just do really bad pop music, you know, on national television. Not necessarily something they want to do, and I guess they're right to say no to it, you know. You know, and of course, you know, I can hear a million people in the mainstream world going, how could they turn that down? You know, well, there's a million reasons why they could turn that down. Well, a lot of very specific ones, you know, because obviously, you know, yeah, exposure is one thing, but the way that they do the exposure is another thing, you know, so... You know, don't let anybody force you to make compromises with your integrity ever, you know, and I think that's something that obviously they believed would happen if they did take the offer. And of course, it was just an audition anyway. It wouldn't have meant that, you know, I could see them very easily smoking people on American Idol, though, so... We had a little bit of fun with that, you know, with me, we sort of started chatting about it there, but... for the most part, you know, the Shook Twins, wonderful, you know, wonderful act. And, you know, just check out their stuff. And I'll give you the link at the end if you don't have it. But something tells me the majority of the people that listen to this probably already knew about the Shook Twins. I don't know, you know. Anyway, here's our interview with Laurie Shook from the Shook Twins on The Glass Show.
But look, I really do appreciate this because... having discovered your music, it's a blessing because it just sounds wonderful. I, you know, really can see why people see it's very special because, I mean, a lot of people have been praising it. I mean, there's a variety of reasons that, like, you know, I discover people like you and I don't necessarily know everything about you. Because it's like the Shook Twins is one of those names that passes in front of me, and I'm like, that sounds interesting, the Shook Twins, you know, and that's really your name too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the family name, Shook. That's your last name, Laurie Shook, and your sister is Caitlin Shook.
Yeah.
So, how did the band get together? Particularly, I mean, the two of you have been singing for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll let you take it.
No, you finish
this. No. I mean, essentially, like, I know that, you know, I'll get into this later, too, because obviously since, like, childhood you've been singing, there's, like, recordings that you put on the hidden tracks of the albums.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, in particular, that's always interesting to hear, you know. But... Like, at what point did the group come together, like, the group that you have now that's been making the album?
Well, about, I guess it was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? 6 years ago, yeah. Kyle, our bassist, he moved to Sandpoint, and we just kept hearing about this awesome upright bassist, and his friend played the cello.
Okay.
As well. And so 6 years ago, we teamed up with them, the two of them, and since then, the cello has moved back to Minnesota. But Kyle stayed with us. There was 2 years where he, when we first moved to Portland, that he wasn't in the band, but then he came back.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been with Kyle the longest, and then Nico, we met about 6 years ago as well, I think. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
2009. So when we first met him, and he was in another band. The Bucky Walters, which we became really good friends with, and when the Bucky Walters kind of split up after our dear friend passed away in a car accident, we just started asking him to sit in, and that was about 2.5 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that just solidified after that, and he's just been the best addition to the band so far. He's awesome. And, and we play with our dear friends Russ Kleiner and Anna Tibble on fiddle and drums sometimes, and we met them 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe,
mm-hmm.
at Sisters Folk Festival, and they just kind of join us when they can and when it works out. But so yeah, just kind of meeting friends and expressing that we like playing music together, mm-hmm. and continuing doing so.
Well, like, what were your favorites when you were just basically getting started? I mean, like, what was the stuff that you were listening to more than anything else? I would assume it's a lot of the traditional folk music, along with maybe a couple
really.
Edgier things, right?
Yeah, well, actually, not really. We've never been much of a traditional folk. I don't know. I just never really listened to. Oh, I do. I mean, now we listen to, you know, John Hartford and things like that. But back then it was like Iron and Wine and Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, okay.
And the like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were really inspired by the up and coming folk artists. That's kind of what started
there
it all.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it turns out there's a lot of it. I mean, when I started to, you know, I have to sort of digress a little bit here because I'm also a musician, even though right now I'm not necessarily playing much. But when I started playing out, there were a lot of people that were sort of like acoustic and really good acoustic. You know, it wasn't just people that were like trying to play pop songs on the guitar. They were people that were very, very gifted and had these incredible stylings of folk music in their repertoire, and they were also very creative about it. And I mean, I was beginning to really sort of wonder what was happening. I didn't, you know, I feel like the whole like indie thing sort of happened behind my back too, because, you know, there was a long time where I wasn't aware of any of the groups, and you know, and I see that there's folks like you guys. And then, oh, the Avid Brothers too is another favorite of mine, you know, and I definitely, when I first saw them, I was blown away by them. So it's just like this incredible thing that I had no idea was happening, you know, and it just blossomed, you know, it blossomed into this now, you know, and some of the, and it turns out you've been like playing with, or at least playing on stage, like on the same bill with, a lot of the people that I knew about, like, you know, the Indigo Girls.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Head and the Heart, and, you know, Ryan Adams, you know, I mean, it's like I kind of knew about those people.
Yeah.
And the Bodines, too.
Yeah. Oof, forgot about that show.
You probably play so many shows, it's hard to keep track of who you've played with now, you know.
A little bit.
And it's just wonderful. I really do. I think that it's also fabulous that you're twins. You know, family acts, and again, you know, there's not a lot of them that are necessarily like huge anymore. I mean, like I know, like, you know, I kind of grew up in an era where, you know, the family acts were people like the Osmonds and, you know, the Cow Sills. Really dating myself here, but. No, but it's nice that there's you, and of course the Avid Brothers is another group. Let me get right to this thing, because this is probably the thing that really sort of made your name come up again very recently. There was an article in CD Baby, which, by the way, I had no idea they had a blog, but they do.
Yeah.
And it said that American Idol contacted you and your sister about auditioning, and you turned them down.
Yeah.
And not only did you turn them down, I mean, it looked like you completely owned them by just telling, you know, showing it to the world that you said, you know what, thanks, but no thanks, we're a family act, and, you know, this is what we've stuck to doing for so many years, and, you know, you to try to pull you apart would be outrageous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, that just completely smacks of like a Hollywood kind of thing. Like, you know, you'd probably sound better without your friends playing behind you or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, can you talk about that? What was that, you know, like, what did they do? Did they actually email you or send you a written letter about auditioning? And
yeah, they emailed us. And, yeah, apparently, I don't know. I'm not sure how they even got our name. I think maybe they contacted a certain Portland person, and then, you know, asking for Portland musicians or something. We thought it's really interesting that they searched out established musicians that are in bands already, you know, to like try to pluck them from their what they're already doing and do something completely different and corporate. You know, it's like really weird. So, yeah, we just were like, what? They're having a laugh. We're not going to do that. Yeah, it was actually our manager, Phil's idea. He's like, we should write him back and just explain and tell him and, like, stand up for it, you know? So, yeah, it felt really good to say that. And it was really nice for us and for, like, our whole team, our manager and our booking agent and publicist and stuff, just to, like, hear exactly what we stand for, you know? And so we can all kind of, like, recheck and, like, go back to the roots and make sure we're all still on the same page. And we definitely are. It's all really good to say. It was a cool response too. We didn't imagine that so many people would agree or, you know, really care.
Well, I can,
but you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, American Idol is what it is, and it's very entertaining. I've watched it, you know, it's really, you know, it's a reality show that sucks people in, and we're not here to, like, totally bash them completely, but, you know, just bash the idea of separating twins in a band that have been playing for 10 years together. It's just, like, it's ridiculous, so.
Well, you know, yeah, the thing about American Idol is, you know, as far as my interest in it, I mean, I've watched it for a while, and, you know, I think probably for me, I got more entertainment value out of watching the people do the bad auditions than anything else, you know, and unfortunately that's, you know, that's all that in and of itself is like an exploitation kind of thing. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that are just don't like American Idol at all, because these are people that I know that are also into very serious music, you know, and would rather watch American Idol simply just dissolve than continue on as any kind of, like, thing that pretends that it cares about artists, you know?
Totally.
Because it's not really a music show. I mean, I think they use music as an excuse to, like, sort of roll out, you know, a variety of different things that attract people to watch their show, you know, and obviously, like, you know, in a lot of places, it's like a product placement sort of thing. Cause they advertise Coca-Cola, they advertise Ford Motors. And, you know, it's like, I'm kind of reporting from the inside out here because I feel like, you know, I watched it so many times, I know exactly what they're up to, but, I mean, and the people that win on the show are not always people that go on to anything huge, because I doubt that anybody even really knows what Lee DeWise is doing right now, you know?
So, but he clearly did not want to do that.
See, well, then you made the right decision, you know? So therefore, I think that, you know, if you can live without American Idol, then so can we, you know?
Yeah, it's actually really interesting, too. We've gotten two other offers for like reality TV shows that they're asking us to be on it. It's just like, what? Weird.
Oh, you mean like a regular series? Just you guys?
Yeah. Well, no. Like one of them is like a competition show, and one of them is another up and coming show, a music competition, and where you play your own songs, and just a couple of not yet made series that are like reaching out and casting and stuff. And like, we saw your response to American Idol. We thought you'd like to do this reality show instead. I mean, they're completely different. It's interesting.
So in any event, too, there's just like really no. I mean, I don't know. For people that like serious music, obviously there's no place for it. But you know, it's an entertainment show, and that's kind of what I chalk it up to. So can you talk about the techniques that you guys use with the, you know, you use like vocal looping, and your sister, she uses a reconstructed telephone microphone or something. Is that what I read?
I started looping stuff when it was just Caitlin and I playing as a duo, and kind of got bored of just having two guitars and two singers, because I didn't even play banjo back in the day. I got a looper, and I started just looping mostly a guitar part or something, and then I'd beatbox over that, because I learned how to beatbox in high school. And, you know, folk and beatbox go really well together. Decided to do
you
it.
You wouldn't think at first, but apparently all they got to do is just check you out, and there it is.
It was an attempt to kind of make a sound a little bit more fuller, and now I just use it I still use it when we're a four-piece and we don't have a drummer. I am the alternative drummer, looping weird stuff, pounding on the banjo or beatboxing or the golden egg. Mm-hmm. Alternative drumming is what I call myself. Alternative percussion.
Oh, it sounds fabulous. It really does. I've always loved when anybody, I mean, a lot of people will take, you know, rhythm to a whole nother level and use, obviously, but that's been going on for a long time, you know, from different people like, say, Brian Wilson and Lindsey Buckingham with Fleetwood Mac. Just a couple of examples that I can think of, at least, but I've always loved that. I've always loved whenever, like, somebody, like, thinks outside the box instead of, like, what can we do differently on a regular kit, you know? How about just trying something else, you know, other than drums? Drums are not the only thing that are percussive, obviously.
Yeah, so it's been fun trying to experiment with that. And yeah, Caitlin's telephone microphone is just a Craigslist miracle. We got it for $20 on Craigslist and totally changed our lives and our sound and stuff. And yeah, it just really adds the perfect texture that we're looking for a lot of stuff. So we're into texture, different sounds.
This loving for a while. This one's gonna be good.
That's a while from the album What We Do.
So, I mean, I'm just curious, though, too. Like, I mean, did you, was there this sort of, like, meeting that you had where you said, okay, what can we do to make us sound fuller? And those were the things that you, you know, that you came up with? Or were these things that you kind of came up with by accident one day and you were singing through it? And yeah. Like, hey, there you go. That's the sound we were looking for.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, with the telephone, that was the case. We wanted to experiment with different sounding microphones. So she was Craigslisting for a bullet mic or something, like a harmonica microphone that makes you just. We just wanted like radio lo-fi sound. And that's what she just stumbled upon that, and that just happened to be the perfect sound we were looking for. Yeah, and yeah, with the looping, it just made sense to layer stuff underneath it. Two people make it sound like four people.
I mean, yeah, it's
kind of about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something, though. I mean, at some point, here's another thought. Megaphone.
Yeah. That's fun.
I know that's been done, but still, it's like I could picture that, too, being thrown in.
Yeah. Yeah, Nico would sound good in a megaphone. He has, like, four of them. We should start using them. Good idea.
Well, you know, just tell everybody, you know, this guy that I talked to on the podcast, he thought of using a megaphone, so, you know,
yeah. Okay.
I'd run it by you. I know we were talking about American Idol and everything and why it is what it is. That song Shake kind of reminds me for some reason of Adele.
Adele? Oh, cool.
I can kind of hear Adele singing that sort of, like, it sounds like her style of, like, melody.
Cool. It's a compliment. I like Adele.
Well, that's good. I was worried. I was like, oh, geez, I hate Adele. I can't believe you said that.
Oh, she's amazing.
Spit on theft. Said, boy, you- they don't survive. Cause the earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down. Yeah, the earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down. And what are you gonna do when the truth time comes and you cannot hide all the things that you have done? What are you gonna say when they ask you why you chose to live this way in your short, short time? You're on earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down. Yeah, the earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake. Short time. Earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down. Yeah, the earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake. Earth is gonna shake you down.
From the current album, What We Do, that's Shake. And yes, I think it does sound like Adele.
But anyway, yeah, very good. And of course, this thing with the golden egg. Is there, I know you probably have like a whole thing on the website here about the golden egg, but.
I do, it's a long story. I just wrote a
long
shorter
story.
A really long story. I can try to give a short synopsis of it. Do you want to?
Yeah, sure,
hear
why not?
Well, short story. It's amazingly magical egg that was created by this wonderful woman called Lucia Nire.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you pronounce it. She's in Seattle, and she's a performance artist and puts on these kind of flash mob interesting art pieces with people dressed up as cakes or chefs or mice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 2008, and she did a flash dance thing with 30 people dressed as chefs, and they all had golden eggs, and they passed the eggs out to the audience, told everybody to make a wish on them, and so my egg has 30 or 29 sisters, and they all have their own journey and story, but my particular, or this, it's not mine, there's no ownership, this particular egg passed to this hipster mad hatter of sorts, the way that this, one of the egg holders described him. He had a purple suit and a top hat, and was walking across the street on Capitol Hill outside of Dick's Burgers, and these four college students saw him, caught their eye, and they were intrigued and asked about the egg, and he said, it's a magical egg that grants wishes, and told them to make a wish, and he embraced them all, and the one kid wished to keep the egg, and so the Mad Hatter just like let go of them and walked away and left them with the egg, and these four kids fell in love with it and kept it for 2 years and treated it like a family member, like I do. And when they were all graduating college, they decided to pass it on again the way that it was passed to them, and to have the person sign it and then keep passing it on. And so they started the tradition of signing it, passing it on. And so they passed it to some kid, some like military kid or something. And I think maybe a couple more people had it between that and me, because I saw it like 3 days later outside of a concert in Seattle, and I was intrigued immediately by it and definitely wanted to keep it. And so I said, what's the deal with this egg? This guy was holding it, and he's like, some lady gave it to me and said I had to sign it and pass it on. And so I wanted it at once, and I signed it and I kept it, and I laid around the house for a while, and then I decided to make it a egg shaker, and so I put popcorn in the tiny popcorn sized hole in the top, and now it's a shaker. And then Caitlin's idea was to put a little contact mic on it, and so now it's a drum and can make some really cool sounds out of it. And yeah, so it's part of the band and part of the team. And I'm gonna pass it on them sometime, you know. I'll just know when it's right, I guess. And I feel like it's kind of coming closer. Before, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can ever get rid of this egg, but I feel like it might the time might be coming soon because I have kind of grand ideas. I have another egg. One of our friends bought a few more of those giant plastic things. And so I have another one, and I want to kind of cut it open and put pickups inside and make just like this really crazy, just put a lot more, you know, electricity into
wow.
it and make it this really cool instrument. So once I kind of do that, once I start make the other egg, I think I'll be ready to pass the other one on. I don't know. I have no idea when it's going to happen or what's going
to
happen. But
well, I hope you pass it on to somebody that's not going to break it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, there's no rules. Whatever happens is its journey. You know, it's all part of it. But,
no, don't break it. Yeah. Egg. No. I love that. I mean, seriously, though, it's like such a beautiful story that, you
yeah,
know, there's just
amazing.
No way that, I mean, I would hate to see it end up in the wrong hands. Just like for some,
I know.
Like some idiot that was like, oh, I'm going to break the egg. You know, I don't know. I just think that, well, you know, I mean, be wise when you pass it on, I suppose, to somebody that looks like they want to do something good with it.
Better than it ever was. It seems like all the good things.
That's the Shook Twins live, and the song is called Joseph's Dream, and that's by the artist John Hartford, who is no longer with us. He died in 2001. It turns out he is a legend. He was a very renowned artist in the world of folk and country music, and basically, they were covering, you know, probably one of his absolute best tunes, and it sounded like they were having a lot of fun with it. That was recorded live at the 2013 Northwest String Summit, and apparently that's a yearly festival, and it looks like they were there again this year. and it's held in their home state of Oregon. Anyway, shooktwins.com is their website, so go listen to them if you haven't already. They're on, of course, you know, a million different websites, you know, for like YouTube and, you know, and Spotify and all these different things. Their music is quite splendid, and, you know, I think that they're fabulous. So thank you very much to Laurie Shook for doing that interview, and you know, it's been a pleasure. So anyway, this is The Clash Show, and please stay tuned for more episodes coming up soon. Thanks. The Glass Show can be found on Podomatic and iTunes. On Podomatic, the address is chrismcgovernmusic.podomatic.com. On iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in The Glass Show, S-H-O, and it should be the second entry under podcasts. Click on The Glass Show, and it's going to feature my picture, the one with the hat on. Click on that picture, and it brings you to The Glass Show page. And basically, click on subscribe, and you will hear every episode, or every new episode. And, of course, while you're there, you can listen to any episode you want that you haven't, or if you want to hear it over and over again, or any favorite of yours, you can just always just put them on. And anyway, to your wonderful delight, they have several ways of playing these pieces on any little device that you have, any big device that you have. Basically, the sky's the limit as far as iTunes goes. And follow The Glass and The Glass Show on Facebook. And follow me on Twitter. I'm at CMC The Glass Show. And, of course, the original website that started it all is theglassblogismine.com for The Glass. And thank you so much for being a fan. I really appreciate it.